Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your EdTech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to the Tech Flush. Man, I think I say this every episode and people are probably going to stop listening, but that's the entrance. That's what we've got. I'm excited about it. They say you shouldn't be a broken record and records should be broken or anything like that, but I love that. Now listen, we've got a phenomenal show today. I've got six counting me, but five of my closest friends here, and I'm excited. So as we get diving in for episode number 42, who knew it? 42. Big numbers are happening. But let's go ahead and go around the table. We're going to introduce my friends, and as we introduce ourselves, just kind of tell me how you fit into this kind of group. I know we're all innovation specialists, but kind of give me some background of where you started at in education. And we're going to go with Pam. Pam, go ahead and start us off.
Well, hey, Josh. Thank you for having us. And we're just excited to be together. I am Pam Coleman, and I have been in education for 19 years. It is a second career for me and something I just adore. I have loved education for a long, long time. And then when I became an assistant in a track lab, which is an acronym that they use for an elementary school computer lab, I fell in love with the kiddos and went back for a master's degree to teach. All that to say, fast forward through my elementary years, which included a stint in kindergarten and fifth grade as a writing teacher. And now I'm in my ninth year as an innovation specialist.
That's awesome. Kindergarten is such a fun age. I can remember student teaching in kindergarten. This was before water bottles, and a kid had spilt water on the floor. And I'm like, what in the why? You don't even have a water bottle. And so I go to touch his pants,
oh, no.
And he actually went on himself. And I was like, dude, but it's like a 21-year-old in a kindergarten room. I had no idea this was going to happen. Didn't even think about it. So that was pretty incredible. It's one of my favorite stories.
Well,
in kindergarten.
I would love to add to that with kindergarten. You know, the saying is everything you need to know. You know, you would learn in kindergarten. And I never fully understood that till I taught kindergarten. And it's true. Like, be nice. Clean up after yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
all those things
you can do,
you
hard
don't
things.
Think about.
All the things just pointed back to kindergarten.
I know. It's such a fun little group. Let's go with next over here with Shelly. Introduce yourself, Shelly.
Hi, I'm Shelly Earls. I have been teaching a long time, so we'll just leave it at that. This is actually my 31st year. So my career started, basically, I substituted and I did some training in basically third grade, and then I did fourth grade, and then for the last probably 17 years, I have been in this role of a tech coach, which is now innovation specialist.
Awesome. Cool. So another elementary. And you said what grade again?
I taught fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Man, I've never taught the upper ones. I feel like that would be maybe a little easier, but still a lot.
It's really, to me, is the best age because they are not as needy, but yet they still like their teacher and they still think we're smart, you know, and they're not totally being sarcastic and smart Alex yet, but they're working on it.
Yeah,
so.
they're getting there. They'll start learning those traits. Let's go with my boy Colby, and you can follow him on the Xless C Burris on the Twitter, Blue Sky, Snapchat, Instagram, all those fun places. The Xless C Burris.
Your boy. That sounds like a job title or something out there. So. My name is Colby Burris. This is my 23rd year in education. The first 17 years of my life, I was a high school band director and just loved that life. I got to do lots of fun stuff. I've always been kind of a computer nerd / video game nerd. And so I was always dabbling in technology. And so Over time, I started getting more into composition with music, and so doing a lot on computers with Finale and Sibelius. That led to us starting to use a PA system with our marching band and recording just jazz band, concert band in general. So kind of got into AV production a little bit with that. And so all that kind of morphed together. And, it was just kind of always my passion is creative arts through audio, video, capture and production both. And then after 17 years, I got a great opportunity to join the tech coach team, the innovation specialist team. And so I've been here, I think, finishing up my fifth year. So nice. Good times.
Yeah. I always love talking with you, Colby, about all this music things that you do, because I don't know any of the lingo. And when you start talking, it's always like, oh, this cute little thing, or use these big words. And I'm like, Colby, I have no idea what you're using or what you're talking about, but it sounds awesome.
Hey, I'm just going to tell you this, since you're not recording right now, I just look up fancy words. And if you just spit them out there, people will just nod and say, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
That's true. That's
I really don't know anything. I just know fancy words.
I remember in high school, I had this Sunday school teacher. And you know, when you're reading the Bible, there's lots of big words in there, these people's names that are just, you don't hear anymore. And he always said, when you read those, if you read them really fast, no one's going to question you that you said them wrong.
Yeah.
So
that's great. Yeah. That's kind of the same way with me. Just drop a word in there and nobody will ever question you on it.
There you go. Well, cool. Well, we're going to move right. I know we're to the right of you. We're going to introduce Jason. How's it going, Jason?
Oh, just great, Josh. Hey, I'm Jason. Jason Viviano. Seems like I was just here, Josh. I think I was on the tech
recently. Yeah, it was just recently. a couple weeks ago.
So thank you for having me back. So I have been in education now for 21 years. My first 20 years spent in the middle school STEM program, and just kind of enjoying that. And was excited this year to move into this new position as an innovation specialist. I'm excited for the future and kind of what that holds as well.
Awesome. Cool. So we got elementary, we got music, we got STEM, and we're going to save the last introduction for our friend Betsy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You ready for this, Betsy?
I'm so ready. So I'm Betsy Clem, and I think I'm in my second decade of teaching as well, but you know, who's counting? So I started out elementary school classroom teacher, worked my way into libraries. I've done elementary and high school libraries, but that's the bulk of my experience. And this is my first year as an innovation specialist.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you here. So we've got such a wide range of experiences in the education space as innovation specialists. We've just experienced so much. I know you've all started in one path. I've started as a special education teacher for 12 years at the middle school. And so we all bring such a different highlight to our job, and bring such we bring joy. We bring so much to the table with the teachers that we support, no matter what school we're at or who we interact with. So as we think about our past and how we started or what we initially went into education for, I want us to kind of think about our favorite tool in that aspect, right? So with that being said, for me, being a special education teacher, giving that accommodation of read aloud support has really come a long ways with technology. Now we can go online and we can have things read to us. I don't need a teacher sitting right next to a kid. It doesn't single them out. There's just so many more benefits that technology is offering for our special education students that are reading below grade level. And so there's just tons of tools out there, from like your immersive readers to your Google Lens to reading mode and other tools, AI tools out there that just create so many great opportunities for our students to be independent and not be pulled out of a room or a teacher sit next to them. So that would be one of my big things that I wish that was there when I was in the classroom supporting students, especially with that read aloud function. So as we think about that, I want y'all to think about your favorite tool based off of, you know, your music, your STEM, your media specialist, your elementary background. What would be a favorite tool that you are tip or trick that you would really want to share with those teachers out there? They're in the same spot that you are. Does anyone want to volunteer to go first today?
I'll go first.
All right, let's hear it, Exla Seaburris.
So in thinking of the question, in making recommendations, I try to a lot of times stay away from paid products, just because that's kind of a gate that would inhibit a lot of people from enjoying that. So I was trying to think of something that's just bam, right there. People can click on a link and it's the world opens to them. And one thing, one site that's out there that I use a lot in my music theory class is a website from Ableton. If you're not familiar with Ableton, it is a DAW. It's a digital audio workstation, much in the same way as GarageBand. A lot of people know what GarageBand is, or they've heard of Pro Tools. Ableton is very much the same way, but it's kind of got a reverse mentality to how it works. We won't get into all that. But I liked teaching Ableton and using Ableton. And in developing curriculum for using Ableton, I found one of their websites is called learningmusic.ableton.com. Go to that website. You can go to it on any browser, even mobile, and it works. And it's a great curriculum for students that want to learn about music production that may be kind of more composition-based or even production-based. And it starts with the idea of there are tracks in music. And it's a very accessible platform. You can have students get in there with zero knowledge of music theory. So I would not even be worried about putting elementary students into the platform and let them explore. And it gradually builds off this idea of loops in music. So you might create a drum loop, or it might have a drum loop, and you get to choose a bass line to go over the top of it, or a guitar line, or a melody. And it just talks about how music is organized and how you can change loops to create new tracks, et cetera. And just the pacing of it, I think, is great. It's very easy to use website. Like I said, it works on any device. And since it's just web-based, and it's just a great educational tool to kind of get kids' feet wet. They love just what they can create. Then they're hitting their neighbor. They're like, hey, come listen to this that I just created. And it does a very good job of bringing in modern music. Now, when I say modern, it's probably been around for about 10 years now. So I still think it has some YouTube links to like some Beyonce tunes. So I may be starting to date myself a little bit, but it's not cutting edge modern, but it is modern music. So it's cool how they relate those modern songs and some of the techniques and the concepts that are taught through the platform. So give it a shot, learningmusic.ableton.com.
I love that. And especially like kids love creating things. That's like, we've done several things with Soundtrap, and they half their beats don't even make sense, but some of them do. And they love just like, hey, put your headphones in. Let me listen to that. And they love sharing things that they create.
Yeah. I talk with music educators a lot, and I can, with what I'm about to say here, I think I was, when I first started teaching music, I felt like kids had to know, you have to know this rule. You have to know this rule. You are not following that rule, so you are incorrect. And that's not the spirit of what creativity is. And I now have a much more open mindset of let those kids in the sandbox and let them make a mess. And they're going to make new understandings. They're going to be so proud of this beat that they're going to create. And to you, you're like, you got a lot to learn, but that's what they need. They need that excitement. They need that experience. And then they're going to be okay. They're going to figure it out. They're going to build from there. And that, I just love the opportunities that are out there now for students to get into that sandbox. Very easy. Like you said, Soundtrap is a great one now, GarageBand. And just let them create. Let them let their character, their personality shine.
Yeah, they really need that spark. And once that spark happens, then you can develop that. It's just like this show. Like when I first started recording and doing things, I knew very little about podcasting, just other than talking. That was the key to me. But over the past couple of years of doing the show, more is kind of transpired. I understand more of the audio part. Now I don't have an extensive knowledge of it, but I'm understanding more every time I record or edit or do things. I think it's just phenomenal. So let's hop over to the elementary world and let's talk to Shelly. Shelly, what's kind of your favorite little tip or trick or tool you want to share?
Well, typing in, talking with what you and Colby just said is opening up those doors for those kids. A lot of times in elementary school, you've got so many gamuts of different abilities and everything else in one room. So it's kind of nice to have options to where you can meet the needs of all your kids and not one child feels like they're being centered out because they're a little different. So for the ability of that is one of my favorite tools is Book Creator, because they have the ability, no matter what level you're on, no matter what ability you are, a child can create a book. And it makes it to where they can, even if those kids like to do recording, they can test out by making videos and recording right in there. They can use their volume. They can use their voice. If they like to do graphic designs and stuff like that, they can go in there and create their images that they want inside their book. So I like the part of just being able to have, it's a one tool that reaches all discipline matters, all curriculum, all ability levels, because even if a child doesn't know how to spell words, they can speak it and it will type it for them. Or if they don't know English, they can speak it in their language and then we can translate it. So to me, it's one of those tools that is a wealth of information can be put in there and a teacher can go back and look at that and just see the growth and the ability to have endless pages to where they could even make it more like a portfolio of what they've done all school year.
Yeah. And even, you know, with Book Creator, some programs are just, there's more of a process to create things. You've got to know your buttons. You've got to know your layout. But really with Book Creator, there's two buttons.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the easiest programs I think have ever created. And if you go back and look at the history of it, all of it was created to help a student who had disabilities. And that's one of the things I love about it is it doesn't matter what ability your child can do. Book Creator's fun. And I love watching the kids get excited about creating a book. And then they can go, and not only can you print the book and they can actually take home, but you can also then keep a link to where they can send home to their parents and read it on their phone or read it on their iPads. And that book is endless because we can keep on adding more and more pages. So that is one of my biggest go-tos. And as far as like testing and that kind of stuff, Josh, I guess quizzes, because of the new accommodations that they've added, I could give, I've talked to a second grade teacher this past couple weeks ago, and we've been using quizzes inside with them. And she would spend all day long giving one test because she'd have to read it to this one and read it to that one. And that with quizzes now and their accommodations that they've created, she could assign a test and nobody knows that anything's being read to them. Everything's a level playing field. She has one that doesn't speak English and that test is read to that child in their native language. And she is done with testing within 30 minutes now instead of it being an all day event.
Yeah, I think technology is just increasing so much and quizzes has done such a great job of that accommodation that you can really tailor it to specific kids inside that classroom. And nobody knows that they're getting it. They're all on their devices. They all have headphones on. There's music playing. But just having that read aloud function is really just a game changer for all students.
But one of the neatest things about that, Josh, is I was in the room when she first assigned the test. And this one little child who was always like, it's another test kind of thing. When their headphones went on and they start taking the test and they looked around and realized that everybody was doing the exact same thing and no one knew what accommodations that child was receiving, it was a game changer because that child then passed the same time everybody else did. And that child, if you can make a difference in one child like that, it's a winner.
Yeah. And it really gives them that independence that they need. Like we all as an adult want to be independent, but giving that student that independence really can increase their academic being. And I think that's just huge. Once that, again, like with the music or anything that we're talking about, once that spark happens, the possibilities are endless for that kid. Mm-hmm.
Game changer.
Yes. Game changer. All right, Jason, we're coming back to you. So let's hear what's your kind of tip tool you got for us.
Okay. So again, like I said, I've been in STEM, teaching STEM for about the last 20 years. So, and I could say without a doubt, there's a tool that I have used, from the beginning when I first started teaching, and I still use the same exact tool, 20 years later. And I would probably, if I was still in the classroom, I'd still be using it probably for another 20. And that would be cardboard. Cardboard is probably one of the best tools that I could ever use because it allows kids to be creative and take those ideas from their brain or even from a sketch and get them into a 3D space. And so that is one of those things. It's cheap. It is plentiful. You can, you know, get it anywhere. And more and more tools now, resources are coming out to actually incorporate that simple material to use even with robotics and with engineering and other things, you know, like that, that are new and coming out every day. I mean, every year we would have new products come out for this that I could use in STEM class. Like I said, robotics or engineering, things like that. But I always go back to cardboard, using things like, you know, just a simple material that is very easy for kids to be able to manipulate. And I would encourage any teacher, whether they're a STEM teacher or not, or a regular classroom academic teacher, you know, you know, having to do PBLs and things, especially now with STEM and STEAM designations, that is a great, cheap resource for you, to use in your class.
I love that. And, you know, we always think about sometimes, especially when we get in the room together, we talk about, hey, there's this tool, there's this tip, there's this AI thing. But go back to the basics of cardboard. When you first said it, I'm like, what website is that? Like, I'm thinking, but it really is just the basics of cardboard. Like, you know, people are moving. We got Christmas happened, like all these things. Like, you can just take those and, you know, build something from it. And I think that's just a phenomenal low tech tool that we just kind of forget about. And sometimes, like, we push more to the tech side of things, but going back to our roots before all of this, I think that's an incredible tip. So we've got Betsy and we've got Pam. We're going to give Betsy a little more time because Betsy needs, she needs the time to process. We've learned that from an episode,
so many
episodes. That's coming out here in a couple weeks in the tech flush tip. So we'll let her think for a little bit longer, but let's go to Pam.
Well, I have so many favorites, but I think that this one will come as no surprise to anybody that knows me well. Canva still rates up there with one of my favorite tools. And if I reflect back in years past, I can remember fighting with Publisher or fighting with Word and trying to get a newsletter ready for the team and thinking there has to be a better way because this is not it. And now we fast forward to all things web design and so snazzy and user-friendly in Canva. And as we know, it's, you know, it's free for our district, for your school district. We get the pro version with all the bells and whistles. And within it, it just makes everything simple in my mind. So I love the way also the same, in the same vein, I'm very, very, you know, passionate about good communication and just the ability to use a product that will make your communication be streamlined. And ability to relay the who, what, where, when, why, and all that on a social media post. I think that it just takes us to the next level. We're be able to communicate with our families and our community, and you know, many people can see what we're doing. And that no longer do we look in our kids' backpacks for things. I feel like, I mean, we do, but we don't have to because we could just go to the school's website and we're going to find this publication. So I'm crazy about Canva, but I'm also in that same vein, crazy about the AI capabilities that I'm seeing in these platforms with the generation of AI imaging. You know, write my post. I did this the other day. I needed to write a post for a school. I said all the details that I needed in the post and asked the AI, you know, text generator to generate my post, and it did a phenomenal job. Now, I checked for inconsistencies. I added my own spin on it, but I had a post ready for Facebook in moments. So pretty crazy about Canva still. Like, I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the things that it can do and the updates they have, like they have the Dream Labs now where you can create AI generated images. Or even to do like, we do a lot of things like Autocrat and Mail Merge and create these fancy newsletters or anything and just input data and just creates all our papers for our students. And there's just, they continue to update. They continue to do things really well. Canva's always, I think, a fan favorite that we'll always come back to and talk to. So I love that one. Thanks, fam. All right, Betsy, had a long time to think about it. You're welcome. That was on purpose. So what do you got for us?
Okay, I've got a couple of things. One is actually like a framework that I kind of just, it's a lens that I view things through, and that is the Big Six information search process. And the whole idea is that it's a simple process that walks you through how do you solve information problems, which we have so many of those these days. So it would be a thing you can use with students if you're like a librarian or a teacher or whatever, as you're searching for information or researching something. In the Big Six, there are six tasks that you work through in order to find a solution to whatever information question you may have. It starts out with task definition, defining what the problem is. Information seeking strategies is the second stage, where you determine possible information sources. Stage three is location and access, where you physically locate the sources. And then step four is use of the information, engaging with it, reading it, hearing it. And then step five is synthesis of the information, organizing multiple sources of information, and ultimately presenting that. And then finally, step six is evaluation of that information. And so that's how I approach information search problems. And that was a thing that I would teach to my kids who were coming through the library, whether it was elementary or high school. There's a simplified version of that called the Super Three, if you have really young kids and want to check that out. But that is, it's like a framework more than like a specific like website or anything.
Yeah.
But it's a lens to approach information problems. And then from the librarian lens again, just the research of Keith Curry Lance. He talks about the power of libraries to impact student achievement. And he has all kinds of different measures that they've done and replicated in multiple states. And the research of Stephen Krashen, who talks also about the power of reading to impact not only student achievement, but individual human lives. So as a library background, those are some things that are just kind of like how I approach the world in my daily.
Yeah, and it's so very detail oriented. And I think, you know, being a media specialist, I don't know a whole lot about that role other than when I go to the library at the elementary, middle school, or high school and hanging out, you learn a ton of things. And it's just very detail oriented in what's happening in that world.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
well, cool.
Thank you.
Awesome. That was a fun little tip. I'll have to look up the Super Six and the Super Three.
The Big Six.
The Big Six.
Yeah. The Big Six.
And the Super Three.
The Super Three. You got it.
That's going to be on the radar to look up.
There you go.
All right. Well, cool. Well, listen, that was such a wealth of information between you five of just good tips, quality things that are happening from tools to cardboard. I just loved all those great ideas. And I hope you guys out there in the Flusher land are listening to those too. Now, speaking of Flushers, and I've not said this on air yet, but I like to think about you guys as some of my favorite fans, right? Whether you listen to the show or you don't, it's irrelevant. But I think I need y'all to have a nickname, okay? And this is a big shout out to my boss, Scott Webb, okay? And Scott would really appreciate that if he was in the room recording us. But I think y'all's nickname needs to be the Floaters. We got the Flushers that listen.
Oh.
We got the original people. The Floaters.
Can we say no to that?
I think we should have a vote.
Yeah, can we vote on that?
This is literally the last episode of the Tech Flush, I think, happening right now. Signing off.
I don't know if that was too much or not, but that's kind of a fun little. Listen, I hang out with these people all the time. And they think the Tech Flush is funny because on my picture is a porta potty, headphones. We got all kinds of potty jokes.
What do you mean by floater? Like, explain that.
Yeah.
We'll leave that for another episode. We got to let our listeners use their imagination a little bit. You know, we don't know who's going to listen to the show, but we could use our imagination there.
Like,
now,
are we like in a boat going down a river? Or, I mean, what do you mean by float? Yeah. I mean, honestly, can you elaborate?
Well, you know,
we help keep the tech world afloat.
There it is. That's what it is.
That is really good.
There you go, Josh. Yeah,
there you go.
We're the ones who help keep the tech world afloat.
No comment.
There's what you got. Now, listen, speaking of floaters, flushers, and porta potties, it is now time for the Tech Flush Tip of the Day. Now, we're going to get going around the table. And we're going to talk about a quick little tip that you have. I think Colby wants to go first.
Hey, newest tip. Leslie Fisher, we got to see her 2 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Great product that she showed us, not even a product, but website that's so helpful is yellkey.com. Mm. Such a cool, easy to use website. Think of it as kind of like Bitly in a way that it's a redirect. So you don't have to get, you have this long URL you want people to be able to connect to. But you don't have time to make a QR code or make a Bitly. You just want to, like, you're in the middle of a session, middle of a class, but you have this 75 character long URL you got to share out and you're panicking. Go to yellkey.com, paste in that URL and say how long you want that URL to work for. So maybe the next 30 minutes you're presenting. So for the next 30 minutes, it will create a custom, easy to use URL. So it might be yellkey.com/loud. And that's what you tell your attendees to go to, and it will redirect them to that website that you have. So just super quick, easy to use. I think we've all been in that position at some point. We want to share a URL with a group of people and you're like, how do I get this to them quickly? Yellkey.com.
Love it. Great tip. Pam, what you got for us?
Well, I have been loving Google Lens. So Google Lens, if you are on your web browser in Chrome, you would just over where your URL is. And by the way, you have to be updated to the latest version of Chrome. Google Lens should show up for you if you click where that URL is. And it looks like a camera. And then your screen kind of does this and it kind of looks like it morphed. But at that point, you can copy anything. You can drag and like select what you want. It gives you like a box to drag over. But I like to most of the time just drag and like it looks like I'm highlighting my text at that point. And then when I release and stop dragging, it will say translate or it will say copy. And both of those are magical because I'm copying a lot of times and making quizzes or helping a teacher with something that they have a PDF of and it's not able to be copied. So that's awesome. But the translate tool is dynamite. And our kids can do this on their Chromebooks and they can translate to their native language. So let's just say that they are Ukrainian and they need to read their story. And it's an online story. If they have the Google Lens, they are able to copy all their text and have the Google Lens translate tool read it in Ukrainian. So it is one of my top favorites right now.
Yes, Google Lens is incredible. All right, Jason, what you got for us?
All right, mine is probably not super educational. However, it is something
Is this about more cardboard?
No, not cardboard. Although I could probably do that. I can make a song about cardboard on this app. So anyway, this is something else we learned from Leslie Fisher at our conference recently. It's an app called Suno. This has been awesome. I am not musically inclined. If I had anything to do with music, like in church or anything, I'd be the guy running the soundboard and things like that. But yeah. So anyway, this one allows you to put in an AI. It's AI generated and allows you to write a prompt. And so I tried this out on my family members. And so I wrote a prompt for about each of my daughters, my wife, my mother, and put that in there. And it generated a song about them. And it sounds really good.
Yeah, they just, so Suno does some incredible things.
It is unbelievable. And they have a new version as well, version 4, and they're allowing you to trial that a little bit in there. And you can create some, create a few songs in there on that new version too. But even just the basic one is just, it's unbelievable. It sounds really professional. Like I told my daughter, I made one for her. I was like, I would buy that song. It was that good. So anyway, that's pretty cool. Suno, S-U-N-O.
Awesome. I love that one. All right, Betsy, we're not giving you the last spot here. What do you got for us?
So I would just kind of share out the Van Meter Library and Technology website. It's Shannon McClintock Miller. She has tons of great ideas for librarians, how to engage your patrons and audience.
Awesome. Cool. That'll be another one I have to check out. I've never heard of that one. All right. Shelley, what you got for us?
I'm going to go old school.
Let's do it. We got more cardboard.
There is one.
Exactly. Steal mine now, Shelley.
There's okay. Just one thing that I use every single day, and that's the tip of Control Shift T to open up those tabs that I closed accidentally or whatever. And I'm still amazed at how many times we do stuff like that and we think, oh no, it's gone forever. Nope. Control shift T brings it right back.
I just want to say preach, sister. Preach.
Oh, I love that one.
It is my favorite go-to.
And it's amazing on that one. That you felt like I share that all the time, but there's still people that don't know that.
I'm amazed just, at how many still don't, people won't use it.
That's got to be the number one tip for shortcuts. Love it. All right. Listen, my favorite people, my floaters. I think this was awesome. I hope y'all had a good time here. It's been kind of fun. I don't get these guys in the room a whole lot with me. And so when we do, they all get kind of crazy. We've got some of us that take pictures the whole time. It's a little distracting. We're standing, we're waving, all those fun things. But it's incredible to get y'all in the room. I don't know. We don't necessarily spend a whole lot of time kind of just hanging out, kind of talking, recording, or just hanging out in general. So this is awesome. I really appreciate you guys being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So for Shelly, any last words?
Keep on keeping on, and don't think you ever know enough, because there's always more learning to do.
There's always more learning. Yes. Betsy?
I agree with that.
Oh, we got an agree when I put her on the spot there. Pam?
I agree with them too.
Man, are we going to break the mold here?
Nope, I'm going with them.
Oh, good job. Goodness.
I'm going to break the mold here. Hey. I just want to say thank you for giving us the opportunity. Such a great vehicle. You've really developed a nice show here. And thank you for including us in so many of your productions. It means a lot to us. And many continued successes, we hope for you.
And thanks for pouring into the kids and training them how to do podcasting.
Oh, listen. It's just podcasting is so special. I think it's just for me sitting in the room, sharing my voice was the start of it. But to have great people like you to be able to be on the show, the guests that I've had the past couple of weeks, it adds a new flavor to this show that I really, truly enjoy. So listen, I appreciate y'all being on here. This was awesome. And for episode number 42, right? 42? Sometimes I get lost in the episodes. But listen, I hope y'all have enjoyed it. And until next time, we'll catch y'all later. Bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.